It's Victory Monday here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're going to talk about this one over the Falcons and why it's a good sign for the direction that the Steelers are trying to go in because they're forging the identity they wanted all along. Again, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, be your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day because we're your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On at prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Steelers fans, your first back-to-back wins of the season, and I got to tell you, it was a gritty win. It wasn't clean, it wasn't pretty, but it was gritty. And I think that was the bottom line for the Steelers. They were able to get the W any way that they could. They fought to the end. I think it was a really good sign for the Steelers that their running game continued to show up. But this game showed many different ways. They're 5-7 now, by the way. This game showed many different ways where the Steelers could have folded. But so many times they found a way to respond, whether it was the offense starting the game with four straight possessions that got points, with three field goals and a touchdown. Still, you want, more touchdowns, but they get those points. The offense only has 1 3-and-out in the entire game. Better efficiency there. The defense giving up 1 touchdown drive the entire game, and then when given the chance to pin their ears back at the end of the game, Minkah Fitzpatrick gets the game-clinching interception. Those types of things. This is the type of football the Steelers this Steelers roster was designed to win. It's not pretty, and they didn't do everything right. Deontay Johnson still with a lot of drops. We'll get to our grades on tomorrow's episode with Stars and Skulls. There were tons of things that they needed to clean up, that they needed to do better. But even in then, this is what a successful team does. This is what a winning team does, is even when you're not playing at your best, you're doing enough to get yourself over the finish line. And that's what this team did in this game. Earlier this season, they weren't doing this. They weren't playing winning football. This was winning football. This was a well-constructed game plan early on. The Steelers came out. They were executing. They were moving the ball. Their biggest hiccups came from on-the-field mistakes, whether it was Deontay Johnson dropping a pass, Kenny Pickett just missing a guy, a missed block here or there, the defense. I think the biggest concern in this game was when the defense was getting mowed down in the 8-play, 70-yard drive that they gave up to the Falcons late in the third quarter. But the Steelers were able to rebound a little bit. They were able to – Malik Reed drew a holding call. I think that's still one of the most unsung points of the game, was when he drew a holding call on what would have been a touchdown run. It forced the Falcons back a bit and forced them to play with first and 20 instead of getting a touchdown. That allowed the Steelers defense to kind of regroup, get a stop there, and then from there on, the Steelers offense, took a 9-play, 40-yard drive, ended up having to punt, but pinned the Falcons at the 1-yard line. Good job by Presley Harvin, by the way. But again, this is a game. This is the style they're supposed to play with. You look at the stats from this game. The Steelers able to run the ball. They ran for 11 first downs in the game, ran for 154 yards total, 4.2 yards per carry. Individually, Najee Harris leading the way, 17 carries, 86 yards. That's 5.1 yards per carry. Benny Snell back in the game, 6 carries, 24 yards. Decent day for him. Steven Sims, even on the jet sweeps, 3 carries, 19 yards. Good plays for him. Jaylen Warren had a carry for 5 yards. Derek Watt, another carry, 5 carries by the way, this season for Derek Watt. All 5 have been first downs. This sets the tone for the offense. This is what Matt Canada, what Mike Tomlin, and what the Steelers have been trying to eventually build, because they didn't want to ask too much of the rookie Kenny Pickett all season long. This way, he can throw 28 times in a game. And in this game, 16 of 28, 197 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. Nicely played game by him. And I'll also say Kenny Pickett looked more efficient. We'll get into more about the specific offense in a minute here. But I think the bottom line is that this team, not asking too much of its rookie, not asking too much of the passing offense to kind of formulate something that takes a lot more time to build, but they're finding ways to win. I also think it's very significant that the offensive line has continued to be able to find ways to win in the run game. There, if you look at this, the Steelers stats over the past few games, this is now the fifth straight game where the Steelers have gained over 100 yards on the ground. That's significant when you look at it. And again, you know, and in those games, they're 3-2 since the bye week. They're 3-1. I think this is what the Steelers were designed to be this year: run the ball first, have some play action, let Kenny Pickett be efficient in shorter spans. That way, he'll get a feel for himself. He'll be better in game situations, and I think he was in this game. Well, you know, again, we'll get more into the offensive breakdown in the second segment, but there were several times where he could have folded and made a bad play, and he found a way to convert on third down or find the open man or get the open guy in open space and keep plays alive and keep drives alive. And that's what this team needs. And this is all being done without TJ Watt still at 100%. Again, we'll get to that part in the third segment of the show with the defensive talk. But this defense definitely didn't have its best day, but still had a good day. You only allowed one touchdown against the number four rushing offense in the NFL. You know, and granted, you allowed 146 yards on the ground, not what you want, but you win on third down 70% of the time. The Falcons only went 3 of 10 on third down. Situational football, the Steelers are winning it. And this is the identity that they need to be. Again, tough defense, stingy. When they get to the red zone, try to hold them down. The Falcons were 1 of 2 in the red zone on Sunday. You look at that success. Again, you look at the offense, not asking them for a ton of yards, but take up a lot of clock. They win the possession by five minutes in this game. If this was the Patriots game or the Jets game or the Dolphins game of earlier this year or the Browns game, those games, the Steelers were losing the time of possession. They weren't doing as well in those positions, and it was forcing the defense to have to keep going back out there. The way the Steelers are playing now, they're not doing that. And that's, again, what they've been trying to get to for so long. And it seems like over the past month or so, they've been finding that identity. And that's so important for them moving forward. It's not who they're always going to be under Kenny Pickett. But for a rookie quarterback, it's so much needed. And now you're at 5-7. Next week, you got a Ravens team that Lamar Jackson's banged up. Maybe you have a chance to compete there. And you're giving yourself a chance to finish strong this year, which is what I was saying could be coming down the pipe. Now, let's talk about the offense in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, because I want to get more into Deontay Johnson, Kenny Pickett, George Pickens. We saw how upset he was, and other aspects of this offense that I thought were really good in this game and really questionable. But first, before we do any of that, we got to talk to you about our friends at Total Wine and More. This holiday, find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon or the perfect gift for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. Find what you love. Love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. We're also brought to you by Simply Safe at Locked On Steelers. We believe that the home should be where you are, and then your family should feel the safest, especially over the holidays. This season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, Simply Safe. And right now, Simply Safe is offering Locked On Steelers listeners 40% off a new security system. Don't put this off. Here's why you'll love it. When you call Simply Safe staff for help, they're attentive, they pay attention to what you're asking, and they do everything they can to help you find what you're looking for and figure out whatever situation you're in. You'll really love how simple the phone apps makes using Simply Safe. It keeps you up to date with the safety of your home at all times and makes it easy to get answers when you have questions thanks to their app and their support team. With 24/7 professional monitoring that costs less than $1 a day, Simply Safe's agents call you the moment a threat is detected and dispatch police or first responders in an emergency. Even even if you're not home or can't be reached. Don't miss your chance to save big on my favorite security system. Get 40% off on any new system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL today. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's focus on the offense here a bit because there's a lot to break down. Again, the efficiency was the biggest thing for me in this game that the Steelers were able to get. It was being able to move the ball when they needed to keep drives alive, keep their defense off the field. And that is what, in my opinion, is what allowed the Steelers to win this game because it gave the defense enough of a reprieve. Even that drive, even though they didn't get points on the drive and they didn't end the game on that last drive in the fourth quarter where Kenny Pickett on third down tried to do a QB boot out wide to the left. That drive still took up time when you go back at it. And when you look up the Steelers, they took over the ball with 5:27 to go. They gave the ball back with 42 seconds. And even though, again, you don't get any points, 9 plays, 40 yards, you ate up so much clock. The Falcons, I thought that they were being silly by not using their timeouts, but that was what they wanted to do. So they ended up being pinned on the one. Again, a great punt from Presley Harvin. But even drives like that carry so much importance. And again, being efficient, there was a really good second down pass that Kenny Pickett had to Deontay Johnson, you know, just in rhythm, 3-step drop, bang, hits Deontay Johnson short, lets him get the first down. And that was a really good play. I really think the Steelers in that moment were finding who they were in this game. And again, second half, just like last week, not as good as the first half. This is 3 straight weeks where the Steelers have scored 16 or more points in the first half and then kind of fallen off in the second half. Here's the thing. I don't think it's play calling. They're getting these opportunities. Deontay Johnson dropping open opportunities, missing big chances. There are plays on the field to be made. This group just isn't consistent enough yet. But all in all, still the Kenny Pickett is finding ways, and that's what you need from him. You're seeing progress. You're seeing him succeed, and you're seeing him, I think, grow into the kind of heady quarterback that handles any situation he's in. I think there's a lot of credit that needs to go to that young man for what he is doing for the Steelers. And this is what I told you way back when. I was like, this is the kind of leader Kenny Pickett is. He's always very steady, whether it's the highest high or the lowest low. He's right in the middle, trying to keep everything calm, trying to keep a cool head, and looking for the next play. Around Kenny Pickett, you can say really good things about the tight end group. Pat Freiermuth, a great 57-yard catch and run, breaks a tackle, makes things happen. That guy's continuing to grow into a top presence, top tight end presence in the NFL. Connor Hayward with his first touchdown grab in the NFL in the place where his dad used to play for the Falcons. Huge day. Also, him and Cam Hayward getting a sack and a touchdown on the same game. That's awesome for the Hayward family. Congrats to them. So you got great play from the tight ends, the running back room, solid play with Benny Snell, Najee Harris doing a good job there. Jaylen Warren chipping in when he could. This running back room is looking solid under Eddie Faulkner. He's calmed them down. The offensive line, Pat Meyer. There was one blitz that I thought was really impressive how the Steelers handled it because it was a blitz and a linebacker, who's number 54, tries to go up A-gap. James Daniels sees it, steps into it, has great footing, doesn't get called for a hold, stones it. There's nothing this pass rusher can do. It allows Kenny Pickett time to think, process the blitz. He runs and gets like 4 or 5 yards on the play. The offensive line is playing more cohesive. Yes, they're not a great offensive line. I struggle to even say that they're a good offensive line right now. I think what they are really, though, they're a consistent offensive line over the past few weeks. They run block very well, and as a group, they communicate well in pass protection. They sometimes lose in one-on-one situations you don't want them to, but they're doing a better job. They're getting their double teams better off to get to the second level. James Daniels, Mason Cole, another really good game from him. Kevin Dotson, really good game from him. I thought Dan Moore and Chukwuma Okorafor, even when Okorafor got hurt, he came back in. They were all in their spots a lot of times this game and plowed the road for the running game to work. And even when they didn't make it work, they plowed the road, there were times they lost at the line of scrimmage. Najee Harris was finding ways to get extra yards. So important for this Steelers team moving forward. But again, there's a lot that there's a lot to win in this game. We got to talk about the receivers. I was starting with a lot of the positives of the offense, but there's no doubt that the receiving game has to improve. The Steelers need more out of Deontay Johnson. You don't know how else to say that moving forward. You think that, you know, in this game, it was clear they had a plan to get him the football. 11 targets. You look around the board. George Pickens had only 2 targets in the game. Pat Freiermuth was next with 5. No one else had more than 2 targets. It was Deontay Johnson with 11, Pat Freiermuth with 5. Everyone else, 2 or less. Now, granted, when you're a run-first team the way the Steelers are right now, less people are going to get their chances to get the football. But when you're when you have George Pickens and he's been a playmaker for you, you want to get him the ball more. And granted, Deontay Johnson is your number one receiver and you want to get the ball to him. But in this game, my goodness, some of the drops that he had, the missed opportunity. There was one drop over the middle where Kenny Pickett perfectly waited it out. The Falcons had backed off. They had given up space underneath. And a shallow cross from Deontay Johnson. Kenny Pickett hits him in stride. If he catches it, he has the whole sideline to run. He might score a touchdown on one of those field goal drives. He drops it. And there's no excuse for that. Kenny Pickett on a deep ball. I thought he was a little late with the throw, but he still put it in a place where Deontay Johnson should have been able to get it. And he showed some alligator arms, didn't go up and get it because he was afraid of the hit. Or at least it looked like he was afraid of the hit. I don't want to say what actually was going on there, but he didn't come down with the ball on a deep ball. When you're the wide receiver one and you're getting paid wide receiver one money, those are plays you need to make. And then the play in the fourth quarter that almost doomed the Steelers. When he, after the Bengals touchdown, I was thinking like, man, the biggest thing the Steelers couldn't use is a 3-and-out. And then when he let the ball go after he grabbed it, the officials, fortunately for the Steelers, ruled it an incomplete pass. But when he dropped it and they ruled it a fumble initially, I was like, actually, that's the worst thing, because then the Steelers would have been gassed on the field defending a short field, and it would have meant the end of the Steelers in that game, because I don't think they could have held on. But still, I really think that the Steelers found a way to navigate the situation and navigate this win with those problems. Deontay Johnson still needs to be better. He made a nice play later in the fourth quarter when he caught that short second down pass that I told you about, where he caught it short and then fought forward for extra yards. That was really good. That's still not enough from what you need from your wide receiver one in this game. And I think that that's where the Steelers still need to see more from their guys. I really will be interested to see how Frisman Jackson continues with this group moving forward, because, I think Steven Sims, in what limited opportunities he was doing, he was okay. He had one pass that, you know, bounced off the ground when he went down to get it, another where he made an interesting sideline tap, but stepped out of bounds before pulling it in. And I think, again, just inconsistency from that group is hurting right now. If that group could be better and give Kenny Pickett more, I think this offense could be a lot more dangerous. You'll see a lot of these field goal drives will turn into touchdown drives. And that's what the Steelers need to be able to get moving forward. All that said, I still think the offense did a good job of being efficient and finding who they're supposed to be as far as a run first team that takes advantage of the pass when teams are looking for the run, and you're seeing things coming together for Kenny Pickett. We got to talk about the defense, though. I'm not forgetting them at all in this equation, so we'll do that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the new daily fantasy game that everyone's going to need to start playing right now, because it's so, so easy to play. All you do is pick 2 to 5 players. If you have a beat on their day in fantasy, all you have to do is get more or less than their Prize Picks projected stat. So, for example, in this game, if you had Najee Harris and the stat line was 80 yards, if you guessed more, you would have gotten money on your prize pick projection. And you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry, and you can make as many entries as you want. It's so fun, so easy, and a great way to make some money while covering sports. And it's not just the NFL. They do NBA, NHL. They're also doing the World Cup. They're also doing college sports. Lots of different ways to make money with Prize Picks. So download the Prize Picks app today or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. And first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for your 100% instant deposit match up to $100 on prizepicks.com or the Prize Picks app. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. So let's talk about the defense, because this was still a good day for the defense. They got the job done. You only allowed a single touchdown, and you got the game-winning interception. Minkah Fitzpatrick, great job there in the end. He had a hit in the backfield for a tackle for loss, led the team with 7 tackles. Really good day from him. Cam Hayward, he got a sack in this game. Really solid effort from him. I think you saw some good moments from other guys. I think you saw Terrell Edmonds with some good plays. But I think what everyone is going to be saying after this game is that TJ Watt is definitely, like, before you knew he wasn't 100%, but he might be like close to like 50 or 60%, if that, because he is getting blown up on some of these run plays by tight ends and not being double teamed, just losing. And that's not typical TJ Watt. Now, it was said that he injured his ribs towards the end of the Colts game and that he was wearing a rib protector. And that's something added on to the fact that he had a pelvis in, or not pelvis, excuse me. You know what I mean? The chest injury that he had, the torn pec. Thank you. He had a torn pec injury. He had knee surgery. He's been banged up this year, and it's clear he's playing through it. And it's clear his presence is helping, because when he's out there, you see how teams have to at least focus on him. And it's giving Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi more opportunities to win. The Steelers aren't the same sack producing team they've been for the last 5 years that in leading the NFL, but they're still able to win in situations. And again, I think that's a very good sign for what this defense wants to be moving forward. I thought Cam Sutton had a strong day in coverage. They went after him a few times, and he was able to hold it down. I thought Levi Wallace did what he had to do. James Pierre came in certain spots. I thought the biggest question mark for me was, at times, that run game in the second half got a little scary. And it was some of the flashes of what we've seen when the Steelers defense, even when it's been good, has struggled to defend. And it's those, oftentimes those stretch runs or those wide zone runs where you see a running back kind of dip out wide, and it gives them, and they either attack the edge or they cut back to the inside to find the interior gap. Either way, when they're doing that, you're seeing the Steelers, sometimes they're coming up, but a lot of times they're not able to fill in those wider gaps. The gap integrity set kind of breaks down, and they start giving up leaky runs to the teams. And you saw in this game, Cordarrelle Patterson, again, contained for 60 yards, but 5.5 yards per carry. That was more of a volume situation. Same thing with Algier, 552 yards, doesn't crush you, but that was on 10 carries, so 5.2 yards per carry. The thing was, is that the Steelers won enough on third downs and kept to them in good third down and distances that it made it so that the Falcons didn't have that many opportunities to capitalize on their run game. They forced the Falcons to the air, where Marcus Mariota was 13 of 24 for 167 yards to the air, had one touchdown and threw one interception. The last interception, of course, it was the last play of the game for the defense, with Minkah Fitzpatrick making a smart play, by the way. He could have walked into the end zone for another pick six to add to his career, but he took it out to the sideline. Technically, I know there's some people out there that were like, he could have just walked in with that. That was the smart play, because technically, even though there was like less than 30 seconds, the Falcons were out of timeouts, and their offense is not a throwing offense. If he scores there and the Steelers get the extra point, they're up, 10 points at that point. And the Falcons could get a kick return or a long pass play. And then if they get an onside kick, then they'd be back in the game. But he kills all of that. There's no question of that, by just running out of bounds, letting Kenny Pickett take the knee, and the Steelers get the win. Unselfish play on his part all around. Also, I want to say this about the special teams, because I saw towards the end of last week, questions about Danny Smith and, oh, he's terrible, he's a bad special teams coach. Man, go back and look at what the Steelers used to be giving up as far as like scores wise on special teams before Danny Smith became the special teams coach. Go back and look up, like, it was a common worry in the early to mid 2010s before Danny Smith took over. And there's been some lapses, but they've been few and far between. And because last week they gave up one kick return that put the Colts in a really good situation that allowed them to sort of storm back and get a comeback that in a game the Steelers ultimately won. I saw a lot of criticisms out there about Danny Smith. And sure, the criticisms are fine, but people calling for his head, that was too much. Danny Smith's been a good special teams coach. The Steelers shut down Cordarrelle Patterson in the Falcons' return game today. Also, they were also able to get some really good punting in a situation. That was the punt of the year, in my opinion, for Presley Harvin, pinning them at the one. Really good sign that he's growing. He still needs to be more consistent. In this game, he only punted two times. That's a good way to have to punt in this game. But his longest was 47, and I think that was the one he didn't have to pin at the 1 yard line. So again, really good signs from him moving forward. Matt Wright out there, four field goals, made all of them, made his extra point. The guy's been cash money. They haven't missed with Chris Boswell being out. Nor most teams would be going through a struggle bus right now. So credit to Denny Smith. But again, this defense, the special teams did their jobs. You hold a team to 16 points, you get a turnover, you allow no special team scores. You're supposed to win this football game. And this team did. Again, not pretty, need to clean up some things, but they won the football game. And again, this goes to the identity of what they need to be on a rebuilding roster. This isn't who the Steelers will be forever. The Steelers will develop more chemistry in the passing game. They'll probably get another weapon out there for Kenny Pickett. They'll get a better offensive line to allow for more things to do with the run game. The defense will probably get a healthier TJ Watt. They'll probably invest more at the cornerback position. There's a lot of different things the Steelers will do in the coming years. This isn't who they forever will be. But this year, with this roster, this is the team that they need to kind of fight their way to these gritty wins. They did it on Sunday. They deserve to be commended for that. They did it again last Monday. And now they're riding a win streak, going to play Baltimore in a big game. If the Steelers pull this off, we'll see. We'll break this down all week long. If the Steelers pull this off, they're a game back from being at 500. And they're still in the back end of that hunt for the playoff race. And all of a sudden, the chance at a winning season this year isn't as crazy as people once thought. We'll break down more of that on the Locked On Steelers podcast as the week goes on. Thanks for checking out our show here. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Check me out at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I cover Pitt Athletics, and also do the North Shore Drive podcast. Check that out. I'll be breaking down more of this game with Ray Fittipaldo, who was live there in the stadium from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, breaking that down there. You can also check me out on Channel 11, WPXI, with a lot of things that I do for them. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel to get our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making us your first podcast listen every day. Back on Tuesday with our grades episode, as we'll break down stars and skulls for the Steelers' wins over the Falcons.